gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I've had quite a weekend. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Malloy. Voice deity, Jim Ward. Associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. I was sending you lots of things from my weekend to post on the StephanieMiller.com.
I saw that. You had quite the weekend.
I was quite the busy little beaver, wasn't I?
Well, beaver.
All right, so lots of news to get to. Oh, so I took the doggies over to see their foster father, Hal Sparks, my
yes.
sometimes husband.
Did he stay with
who
you?
Who I am partially married to. He was in town doing an AIDS walk yesterday.
Did he stay with you?
Yeah, he stayed with me earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
And then they put him up somewhere fancy. But, yes. So anyway, I brought my two giant dogs. Great Pyrenees, by the way. I don't know why I underestimated how many people would be at AIDS Walk in New York City.
It's a huge thing.
Because it was like, because you know every time you've been for a walk with me, every time, do you know how many times I hear, what kind of dogs are those?
Yeah, yeah. You probably heard that 500,000
like yes,
times. Yeah.
10 years of that condensed into an hour.
Yeah.
It was a little, leave me alone, they're Great Pyrenees. Anyway, so a picture of Hal Sparks and Mama and the dogs on the Iditarod in Central Park for the AIDS walk. And, and also, you know I'm all about the children. You know, believing in the children being of the future and whatever.
I believe the children are the future.
All right, so we're trying to get this video up. I was, I spent the day with my friend and her two kids.
Oh, my God.
Let me say I have a better understanding of parents. So let me get this straight. You do this all the time. So there is no pause. It's just 24/7. She has a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And that is something there. Anyway, but she has every parent. It's required. Apparently, I don't know everywhere, but it's a flip phone that they in order
it's
to videotape everything your child does.
It's not a phone. It's a flip video is what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the parent thing. Every parent now today is a friggin' Francis Ford Coppola. You have to apparently record your children's life is really more of a film than a life. It's a. So there's video of me with her two kids walking the dogs. We're all walking it was precious.
Sounds like scintillating video. Here's Steph walking the dogs.
Yeah, seriously, childless losers like me and, married people with kids, you need to spend time with each other. You can better understand each other's lives. Because it was actually very touching and magical.
We
had a better understanding.
You make fun of your friends who have kids for taking pictures of them at every turn.
My dogs, I understand.
Do you
what
realize
you're going to
how
say.
Many pictures of your dogs you have up in your house?
Yeah, she suggested I move somewhere away from the park. She's like, it's not all about the dogs. I'm like, yeah, it is. Anyway, here's my understanding of parenting, Chris, just from my brief exposure to it yesterday. It is sort of like I think parents should probably have a megaphone because it is like a 24/7 hostage crisis. There is a lot of there's a lot of threats and blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? We found a place where I was walking the dogs in the park, and we met, and we found a what do you call it? What do you call those things? Playgrounds.
Yeah.
A playground.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she asked me where one was. I was like,
what?
Oh, I don't. It's like, you know, single people, like, I'm like blind. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't even see those. I just walk. I don't. Anyway, so but we found one.
Oh, good.
Who knew? Who knew? Who knew there's playgrounds
in
Central
park.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Parents that are listening know what I'm talking about. It's a constant sort of, because, you know, she was like, you kids go in there and mommy's going to be out here talking to her friend because you can't bring the dogs in there.
Right.
So we were catching up. We haven't seen each other in a while. But then there's this constant, and then the hostage crisis develops.
What?
Where she's like, you go watch your brother while mommy's talking to her friend. And she's like, no, I will not watch him unless you come in. And then she's like, well, I don't need you to come in then, do you, if you're... If I come in, then I don't need you to watch your brother. I am not. You come in now. Mommy's talking to her friend. You finish the sentence, and then you come in now. It's really,
my mom would
it's
have
like
backhanded me if I would have said that.
Yes. Finish. She, although I thought that was sort of big of her, that she would allow us to finish, her mother to finish a sentence. So.
Ooh, I would have gotten yelled at big time.
Yeah. So this is what, in my experience, yeah, this is what it's like. It's just you need a hostage negotiator of some type. Oh, which is also why I understand as soon as we got to my house, the request for hard liquor. She's like, do you have a margarita? I was like, No. Just to have wine, is that what? Our friend Amy, who has six kids, she came to my house this week, and she also asked for vodka immediately upon walking in the door. There's a difference I've found. Hard liquor and mothering, something different.
Wow.
Most of my single friends drink wine. That's, you know, enough. But I... All right, so anyway, what was I talking about?
Kids.
Okay. Oh, yes. Sorry. Anyway, but it's very tense. It really is very tense being in the, you know, it's just because you're not sure, like, what kind of threats are going to work. Because kids have good BS detectors, so they kind of know when you're full of it, I think, mm-hmm. when it's an empty threat. Anyway, so we, but she's literally, but so then we had the sort of, she said, see, this is why I don't understand when any of my single friends complain about anything. Because she said, oh, here was her Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood story.
Okay.
She, you know, she's in a band.
Right.
She's in the fabulous band Betty.
Yes.
She and her husband. And so they were recently playing in Germany, and they couldn't fly because of the ash.
Yes.
So she said, we were stuck in, you know, for 5 days. But she said, I completely didn't have to have any mother's guilt because, you know, we literally couldn't get home. So she said she had the most fabulous time ever. She goes, I took a shower every day. I had an orgasm every day.
She shared this with you?
Yes. And I said, oh, is that the story when your kids grow up and we are in the Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood? Is that the story we're going to say? Like, because I said, you left your kids is what you did for 5 days. I mean, you could, is that the story we're going to tell them, Ash? Okay.
Whatever.
All right. I'll stick with that if you need. But then I told her, could you call me a wambulance, please, and break out the tiny violin for me? I said, well, okay. My Saturday, Chris?
Yeah.
From the time I woke up to the time I went to bed. Alone.
Wait a minute, when was AIDS Walk?
Pardon me? That was yesterday. That was Sunday.
Oh,
Saturday?
Okay.
Except for the couple times I went to the park and saw lots of happy couples. And families and things. But other than that, I was supposed to go to that comedy show Saturday night. I called like everybody I know in New York, like 10 people. Nobody could.
Confused. Says, no.
They all have, you know, lives and, you know, husbands, wives, kids,
no,
something.
If I were there, I would have gotten the phone call, I'm sure.
You would have been ordered to go.
Yeah. You're going to be my arm candy.
It's the problem. I have no underlings here.
Couldn't you call Sean or something? Or Bob, one of the people in the office
they
there?
They all, listen, they all have, that's my point. They all have homes and families and something.
Did you really call Sean?
Human connections of some part. Of some part.
Did you?
Loser. Total
hey,
loser.
I know, Rebecca.
You live up to it. You really are.
Oh, by the way, I did take the time to send you an email asking for printer cartridges. You can forget that because... The only constant in my life, my printer, that has now failed me as well.
No.
Yes, I... I hate that thing.
But good, don't send me any emails. I don't want to hear from you.
All right, sorry. I appreciate that. You know, it's interesting because we were talking last week about Elena Kagan and Condoleezza Rice
right.
and, you know, women that sometimes forego the trappings of, you know, a life in
beauty.
Order to write. And yes, and then... pardon me?
Beauty. Forgo the trappings
no,
of beauty.
No, you know, husband, kids, whatever.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, Jenna DiPaolo, Harriet Myers, all of them that get to those reaches of government, right?
They don't need a man to complete them.
Well, yes, and then I was talking about how this is, you know, then there are those of us that sort of give that up for no reason and then achieve personal and professional mediocrity, really. All right, anyway... How are you, Mrs. Taylor?
How's married life?
How's
so
married life
much
with Mr. Taylor?
Than you.
Everybody's better than me.
You know, while you were sitting at home moping, I was with mm-hmm. my husband. We were holding hands in the forest and stargazing.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, let's...
That's why you moved to the forest.
Oh, boy, this show is really like a little boulevard of broken dreams, isn't it? Little island of misfit toys we got over here. Speaking of which, that I did post up because I did get to spend time Friday night with Susie Mosier.
Yes.
You know who she is? She was in Hairspray for a couple of years here. Funniest woman alive. You have got to watch her version of Don't Cry Out Loud.
It's posted in the video section of StephanieMiller.com.
Yes. It's you have to see it live, but it's some of the funniest, you know, I've ever seen.
I've seen it live, and I laughed my head off.
Yes, yes. That was my first public incontinence, and I remember it fondly. It was... But it's about broken dreams, like mamas. Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, can you tell that I'm burping? You know why? Because you started this, Chris. So I left my L.A. crack, which is the In-N-Out burger.
Yes.
And then I found my new crack, which is the Shake Shack burger here in New York.
Yes.
And it turns out they're just gateway drugs. And now you know what I did?
What'd you do?
Nick's Sumo Burger.
There's something
it's
exists?
It's a burger the size of my head. Yeah, there's Nick's is another place I found, and now it's the size of a hubcap.
Now you're on a burger thing.
I am. I'm on a burger binge now. I can't be stopped. Okay. I have nothing in my life but giant burgers. Here's one thing I found that's better about being single. So, you know, my friend, I was trying to flag a cab for her. We were all standing there, me and her and the two kids and the buggy. And so I'm trying to flag a cab, and one goes right by. And the good liberal that I am, you know, my friend is black. So I was like, right. Oh my God, like here, you know, like a good liberal, I got all, you know, outraged.
Yes.
And then she goes, it's the buggy.
Oh.
A lot of cats, apparently they pass you by, they don't want to deal with the buggy if you have kids.
Okay.
So I had no idea. So then I had to leave them on the curb and I flagged the cab and sure enough, one stopped right away. And then I was like, hurry with the buggy. Yeah.
You were about to get all indignant on.
So that's one good thing about being a single childless loser, mm-hmm. I found. So, see, there is a happy ending to this story after all.
Yes.
How was your weekend, Christopher LeBoy?
Oh, it was fine. I was out in Palm Springs, mm-hmm. laying by the sun, laying out by the pool.
Laying by the sun?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of everywhere in Palm Springs, isn't it?
It was beautiful there. It was in the mid-90s and sunny. Yeah.
Fabulous. Fabulous. All right. All right. We have a big show. We have the Rude Pundit coming up. We have Eric Bollert from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World next hour. And Rich Galen, Right Wing Tool, in hour number two, or Republican strategist or whatever they call themselves now. All right. And the
he's the proprietor of Mullings.com, he would like you to know.
So the junk packing didn't work on the oil spill, but the insertion tube did.
I don't think they tried the junk packing yet. They were going to try the top hat.
Oh, the top hat didn't work with the insertion tube.
Right, but
it's... So even the oil rig had a better weekend than I did. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the oil rig got more
action
than I did. Uh-huh. See, my personal life's still a bigger disaster than the oil spill. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. That was a sad little monologue, wasn't it?
Can we do something happy when we come back?
All right. I'll do something happy and clappy when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. You can email us at StephanieMiller.com. Kim in Seattle did. You know, we're problem solvers here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sure.
We're a solutions-oriented outfit.
is that what you call this?
Sure. Kim writes, Steph, what happens if the pipe within a pipe solution doesn't work in the Gulf? Will the let's put junk in the hole solution be used? We just like it because it all sounds great. We don't need it. Do you know if this will be exclusively for old tires and golf balls? I have a broken coffee maker and a couple of old, ugly light fixtures sitting in my garage. Could those go in the pipe? I need to clean out my garage, so I thought I could be part of the oil hemorrhage solution. Please let me know. Kim in Seattle. Thank you, Kim. That's very sweet. I'd be happy to put my printer.
Why don't we put Mitch McConnell in there?
There's an idea.
We don't need him anymore.
I saw him on, what was he on? Meet the Press? Oh, Yertle is really... irritating. Here's the thing. I like David Gregory, but I'm sorry. And he does challenge people to some degree. But Yertl spews so many lies per second that it's hard to even. But he said something about the, you know, he was listing all the things, the, you know, the havoc the president has clearly wreaked on the country. And he said something about destroying X number of private sector jobs. I'm like, what?
What?
We were losing almost 800,000 jobs a month when he took over.
Right.
Now we have the best jobs report. We're gaining. What is he talking about? It has clearly been proven out in the numbers by independent analysts that the stimulus has created X number of jobs, private sector jobs. So all of the stuff they say is just a load of
bullocks.
Exactly.
Yes.
That they are private sector jobs. Well, you're using my grandkids' money to make government jobs.
We need Jim here.
Exactly. All right.
To get the Yertl impression.
For the Yertl, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, so, yes, the oil spill, the president was mad.
Yeah, he was mad.
He acknowledged the system failed, and it failed badly. President Obama called for a stop to finger-pointing over who is at fault for the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and for a first time put a share of the blame on the federal government. Gee, you didn't hear that once during Hurricane Katrina, did you?
Nope.
He slammed the cozy relationship oil companies have with the Minerals Management Services and said the Interior Department will embark on a top-to-bottom reform of the agency and conduct a review of the environmental procedures for drilling the president.
OBP is committed to pay for the response effort, and we will hold them to their obligation. I have to say, though, I did not appreciate what I considered to be a ridiculous spectacle during the congressional hearings into this matter. You had executives of BP and Transocean and Halliburton falling over each other to point the finger of blame at somebody else. The American people could not have been impressed with that display, and I certainly wasn't.
Yeah. How's about, by the way, did you see, Chris, the thing is, it's hard to even tell what's happening because it's down so deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like it's obviously not plugged entirely, and they're
right.
Saying that the permanent solution is, I forget what they, it's actually another well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and they're saying, oh, that could be months away. And I'm going, this was their plan? This was the plan. It's like, oh, if something should happen like this, we don't really know what to do, and it'll take. I mean, can you imagine if any amount of this oil is still leaking after however many
mm-hmm.
months?
Mm-hmm. And they're saying that there are pools of oil underneath the surface of the water that are as big as the size of Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of this oil is about ready to go into the Gulf Stream. And if it hits the Gulf Stream, it's going to hit the East Coast, Florida beaches, and beaches all up and down the East Coast of America.
It's like a, what do you call that, an embolism, something in your bloodstream.
Whatever.
A doctor will call and tell me what I mean. A blood clot, something.
Yes.
All right.
But that's not good.
No, it's, well, we'll get to all the latest news from the oil spill, which really is pretty horrific as we continue. And Rude Pundit is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It is Monday. You know what that means. It's time to get rude.
Sleep off at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I forgot. I could have called you and ordered you to do something with me on Saturday.
You know, you totally could have, most Saturday nights. However, this Saturday, I happen to be on the eastern shore of the Chesapeake. So.
Ooh,
oh, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants.
I know.
Although you kind of already did. You went to my sad little cocktail party, or as we like to call it, the dead monkey party. It was very Norma Desmond.
But we cuddled, and it was so nice.
Exactly. And you brought me a creepy little figurine that I still have in my apartment, which is very weird.
Awesome.
It sings.
Oh, that's great. Found it right around the corner from you. That's how much thought I put into it.
So you write about the oil spill. Of course, you realize how this all ends with Godzilla rampaging through New Orleans, or maybe D.C. Is that what happens next?
I think we've pissed off Godzilla.
Yeah.
And once you've pissed off Godzilla, you know, all we've got next is, you know, another movie, Godzilla versus Crudra the oil monster or something like that.
Yeah, this is, it really is amazing. The people that, you know, are in the pockets of the oil companies, like Haley Barbour, just trying to minimize this. You know, he compared it to, he likened it to the spill of a gasoline sheen commonly found around ski boats. He said, we don't wash our face in it, but it doesn't stop us from jumping off the boat to ski.
Well, aren't you washing your face in it then if you do that? But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think that what did he tell everybody? Come on, tourism
is
open.
Yeah. He said come on down. They ignore the dead dolphins and the tar balls. Come on down.
Tar balls. Yes. And by the way, I used to live in Florida as a kid, and every once in a while there'd be some oil spill somewhere, and we loved the tar balls. It was so cool cuz they get stuck to the bottom of our feet and we'd have to, you know, pry them off. It was great.
I thought it was a North Carolina basketball player, but apparently not.
Oh,
this is a new. So, I know this all is good for us because it sounds rude and dirty, but the insertion tube apparently.
This doesn't get any less dirty. This is an actual quote from an AP article. The first chance to choke off the flow for good should come in about a week. Right. Engineers plan to shoot heavy mud into the crippled blowout preventer. And then they can shoot balls. I mean, the last part I sort of edited a little, but, you know.
That could have been on rudepunditblogspot.com, really.
I mean, it writes itself. It's everything they're doing is homoerotic. It's
homoerotic. I mean, the serious side of this, though, Rude, we were talking about that, you know, a relief well is considered the permanent solution, is still being drilled. It could be months away from completion. You're like going, this was their plan. This is their only plan if something like this happens?
That and a bendy straw with a cork.
Where is Sarah Palin with the damn bendy straws?
Yeah, Sarah Palin, send her down there. Hey, we're all Arizonans now. Are you an Arizonan? Because apparently we all are.
Is that what she said?
She said that this weekend.
Don't you love, she said, Mr. President, do your job, secure the border. Shut up, you quit your job.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do your job. What is your job? Your job is just to wander around whining at people. And we're all, no, I'm not an Arizonan. I don't want to be an Arizonan. I don't live in Arizona precisely because I don't want to be an Arizonan.
Yeah. Which is kind of, the other thing that's kind of hilarious is, you know, as broken as we all know the border is, you know, actually arrests have been up under Obama than they were under Bush. He's doing his job better than Bush did.
Yeah, well, you know, all they want is to complete the dang fence. Complete the dang fence, because a big river really worked well too. So a fence is going to do is just going to be magical.
I even saw Peggy Noonan wince at that ad yesterday.
She goes,
"Oh, dang is the worst part of that." Yeah, that seems a little desperate.
Yes, and especially since he wasn't actually walking with the right sheriff. I mean that sort of.
Well, Grampy's confused, but it's also, I think, embarrassing because he's on tape saying, we're not going to build any dang fence.
Yeah, but a fence is not the right solution or something like that. Yeah, oh, well, you know, I think that, you know, everybody's talking about, I mean, there's this whole fear that Democrats are that incumbency is such a horrible thing this year, and I don't know that it's incumbency as much as there's just people that everyone's sick of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, you know what, John McCain, we're just sick of you. We're tired of hearing you. We're tired of you flip-flopping on everything and pretending it's honor.
Yep. I know a lot of the listeners get sick of, and that is the fact that Mama's always right. For instance, speaking of incumbents, Pennsylvania, it looks like Joe Sestak is going to win, which I've been saying for a long time. And don't you get sick of, like, the common wisdom, the punditry? How many times have they been wrong? Right?
Oh,
I mean, it just, everybody said, oh, there's no way he can win, the whole White House, the Democratic establishment, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I'm like, no, people want a real Democrat.
Right, right. And again, it's the same thing. Arlen Specter, okay, Arlen, we're tired of you, all right? How many times are you going to switch parties? If you lose now, are you going to run independent? Are you going to go Lieberman? Which he's not talking about.
Right, these guys are just out for themselves.
Right.
Like Lieberman or McCain, they're just out for their own power. That's exactly right.
And that's it. I mean, that was the whole thing about Lieberman. is that like the Senate could not have functioned without him. The ego of losing the primary and then figuring you yourself are so valuable that if people reject you, you're going to insist that you're still there.
Yep. This is the thing that the SESTAC thing. I mean, Chris, how long have I been saying that? Everybody, Ed Rendell, everybody, there's just no way he can. Well, even if in the matchup against Toomey, he does better. He's at least tied. Spector's losing by 10 points or something.
That's right.
But you know what I mean? This has happened, right, Ruth, through the whole history. You remember the whole, Chris, do you remember our first calls?
Mm-hmm.
Even from black listeners going, you stupid, naive white woman.
That's right.
A black man will never be elected president. This was early on. Remember in the primary? There's no way, the Clinton machine, blah, blah, blah.
And then
you remember during the campaign, every single, media theory was disproven, wasn't it?
I remember very serious people sitting down with me and saying, look, I know that you support Obama, but you have to understand this nation is too racist to win if he gets the nomination. And what they don't understand is when somebody new gets the nomination, if SESTAC gets the nomination or if wins the Democratic primary, that excites people. It's not like, all right, let's have our force march to the polls and vote for Spector again as usual. It's all of a sudden, okay, you know what? There's something. There's possibility. It's like the beginnings of a romance. You know, when there's sex all the time. And before it becomes boring and the same, it's like, I want to get in bed with that person now because it's so fresh and new and I don't know what exactly they're going to do.
And then, who is it? Rita Rudner says it becomes a dance. I do this to you, 2-3, and you do this to me.
That's the same dance.
It.
Anti-incumbency is just like a breakup, and the possibilities that happen after.
Well, I do think that current events do prove what I've often also said, and that is clearly God is a Democrat. Now, this oil spill, because you're right, the Gulf oil spill, government oversight is for C's.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everything that we've been trying to say, right? I mean, you just go, this is why we need government regulation, right?
Oh, yeah. You almost end up sounding like one of the anti-illegal immigrant people who say, just enforce the laws. Well, isn't that what should have happened here with the oil rigs? Is just enforce the regulations that are there. We don't let, if you want to apply the same rules to illegal immigrants, say, okay, let them decide. Let them decide whether or not they're breaking the law enough and should not be allowed in. It's the same sort of bizarre logic of letting them regulate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I love this now that that Republicans are blocking raising the level of how much the oil companies will have to pay back because they've been pledged by BP. BP has said, we're going to pay it all. You don't have to raise any caps.
Yeah, I know, and I there's Mitch McKinless yesterday on Meet the Press defending. Well, you raise the cap too much, then it's just going to be these big guys. You can't. You just blah. It's like, oh please, is there any way to spin that? It's just like, oh come on.
Yeah, how about make sure that you don't do something that causes what's going to end up being a hundreds of billions of dollar disaster. That'd be a good way for you to mitigate your costs.
Yeah, and I don't even think, Chris was bringing up the underwater plumes, but that's the other thing. I'm not even sure we know the scope of this disaster,
Because we can only see
miles-long underwater plumes of oil from the spill could poison and suffocate sea life across the food chain with damage that could endure for a decade or more, according to researchers.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's sort of like, I mean, it's what's going on now is it's like the microbes get to go nuts down there, and it's like a bunch of sumo, stone sumo wrestlers just showed up at a buffet, and they're going to go crazy and not just eat the oil, but also take away the oxygen
and the fish.
Which means we'll have lots of floating flippers.
Yep.
Oh, God, I know. It really is beyond awful. I think, like you say, we don't even know the scope of it yet.
No, because it's in the deep water. But, of course, you can't see that. That's like, it's sort of like it's under the rug right now. And that's why Republicans can say stupid things like, where's the oil? I think Britt Hume said that yesterday on Fox. Where is it?
Well, he can't see because of the folds over his eyes, but
he's
a human Sharpay.
Yes, well, gravity hasn't been good to his face.
Again, we're problem solvers here. We have suggested, I had a neighbor that had a basset hound, Chris, that used a shower cap to keep his ears and stuff up when he walked. So we suggested you could do that, or a little, you know, clothespin behind his neck.
Oh, that'd be great. You should have put a house coat on that dog, too. It could have been, you know, just a regular around the neighborhood.
The Gladys Kravitz of
exactly,
the dog world.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly.
All right. Rude Pundit, it's rudepundit.blogspot.com. I love you, and I will think of you next time to order you to do something with me in my sad little social life here in New York.
Oh, I would love to obey your orders.
See you next Monday. His rudeness, everybody. The Rude Pundit. Yay! 45 minutes all right, after the hour. All right, yes, we will get to the Truga horrors. You know, because they're there, even if you can't see them, Chris, in the oil spill. Mm-hmm. As we continue, 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Are you ready for the...
Oh, my God. What?
Guess the quote of the day?
What?
Who said the Gulf of Mexico is a very big ocean? The amount of volume of oil and dispersant we're putting into it is tiny in relation to the total water volume.
Oh, my God.
Who said that? You see?
Sarah Palin.
No. The BP CEO, oh. Tony Hayward. Just a little drop in the ocean. There's a lot of water, you know, in the ocean. It's not like this is bad or anything. Who can really tell, Chris, what the whole, you know, what the mix should be? It's like a oil and vinegar dressing or something.
Yes.
Who can really say how much oil? You know, as Rush says, there's the oil occurs naturally in the ocean, and the ocean cleans itself like a giant douche.
Yeah, tell that to Rush when the oil hits the Gulf Stream and starts depositing tar balls on his beach in Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
His personal
yes,
beach.
Yes, so when he can see tar balls even from his veranda.
Yep.
Whereas I frequently drink adult beverages with Clarence Thomas, my friends.
Yeah, then we'll see if he...
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah. In the first step in nearly a month towards stopping the massive Gulf of Mexico oil leak, BP said a mile-long tube was siphoning most of the crude from a blown well. Yeah. Are we just trusting them on most of it? Most of it. The important parts. To a tanker ship after 3 days of wrestling to get the measure into place on the sea floor, engineers remotely guiding robot submersibles, how about that, had worked since Friday to place the tube into a 21-inch pipe nearly a mile below the sea.
We're basically sending a giant Roomba to go down there. Okay.
Yes.
Robotic vacuum cleaner.
Computer 38.
Gotcha.
How about this part? You know, I'm not an environmental scientist or anything, but BP has also been burning small amounts of floating oil and spraying chemical dispersants above and below the surface. Is that making it better? I think we made the analogy early on that when somebody barfed in your grade school class, the janitor would come and throw that orange powder on it, which sort of smelled like Parmesan cheese, which in my opinion made it a little worse.
Well,
it's like smelling, you know, it's spraying that cheap lavender spray when you're after the bathroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it just smells like crap, lavender.
Yeah, crap and roses.
Yes.
Aren't dispersants just spreading it out? Isn't that what dispersing something is?
Right.
Spreading it out? That doesn't seem like
that's
it's
what,
good.
Then I'm going, well, what? So you're putting more crap in that's also not good for... Okay. Researchers, meanwhile, warned yesterday that the miles water underwater plumes of oil that we've been talking about from the spill could poison and suffocate sea life across the food chain. As I mentioned, it could endure more than a decade, is what they're saying. Researchers have found more underwater plumes of oil than they can count from the blown-out well, says one professor of marine scientists. She said careful measurements taken of one plume showed it was stretching for 10 miles with a 3-mile width. That's just one plume. The hazardous effects of the plume are twofold. She said the oil itself could prove toxic to fish swimming in the sea, while vast amounts of oxygen are also being sucked from the water by microbes that eat oil. Dispersants used to fight the oil are also food for the microbes, speeding up the oxygen depletion. Thank you, BP. Thanks for looking ahead on that, too. Wow.
There was no plan to deal with something like this. Wow.
Yeah, let's think, speaking of things that will piss you off, so Transocean, who is the world's biggest offshore drilling contractor, they dodged U.S. corporate taxes. They located, they moved to Switzerland.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? So they, yeah.
Great.
After moving its headquarters from the U.S. to Zug, I don't know where Zug is, Switzerland, 2 years ago paid a paltry 16% on its corporate income last year. That's less than half the current American corporate income tax rate of 35%. 16% is all they paid on $4.4 billion global operating income last year. The company, once based in Delaware, shifted its head office from the Cayman Islands.
Oh,
so strange. I wonder how they picked these places. Where had it been since 99? I guess they were paying too much tax in Cayman Islands, so they moved to Switzerland.
With as many corporate headquarters as the Cayman Islands has, it's a wonder it doesn't have a skyline like Manhattan. You know?
Yeah.
makes me so angry.
All right. The president taking some responsibility for the federal government yesterday.
For a decade or more, there's been a cozy relationship between the oil companies and the federal agency that permits them to drill. Seems as if permits were too often issued based on little more than assurances of safety from the oil companies. That cannot and will not happen anymore. To borrow an old phrase, we will trust, but we will verify.
Yeah.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello, Lavender. Oh, did I think I did the thing wrong like I normally do. Hang on. Lavender, good morning.
Good morning. I heard cheap and lavender and thought I was needed for something.
That's a different, no, the spray, the lavender spray. You know, the bathroom spray.
Oh, well, you know, we're really going to notice the oil spill ill effects when the Red Lobster shrimp fiesta goes up a few billion dollars.
Yeah, there's not going to be a shrimp fiesta anymore.
Yeah.
No, the fiesta is over.
Yeah, it's finito.
Well, yeah, if I need to throw in some myself on any more vomit, you just guys just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get I think I'm going to get mercury poisoning again, Chris. I've been sucking down so much, just in case I can't get seafood anymore, you know.
God, this is really killing the seafood.
I know.
Fishing industry in the Gulf Coast there. Oh, my God.
How about this headline? Downplaying the BP spill, Barber encourages tourists to enjoy the beach as dead dolphins wash ashore.
What?
Oh, look, free sushi for everybody. Look. Mm. Barber told radio host Gamblin' Bill Bennett that if the spill comes ashore, it will have some effect, but it isn't anything like the Exxon Valdez. Later that day, he was on Fox News and he said the oil had turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't be another Valdez situation. He's actually right. News analysis shows the spill is already far larger than the Exxon Valdez.
Yeah.
But thanks for playing. He continues to try to wish the spill into the cornfield. The oil has turned around. What is he talking about?
It's still there. It's still killing dolphins that are washing up on your shore.
He's saying it could have a minimal impact on his state, comparing it to a harmless gasoline sheen found around motorboats, as I was saying to Rude Pundit. It's just like the stuff, you know, when you're skiing. It's just a little sheen. That's all it is. Think of it as a magical, like a pretty, multicolored sheen.
So tar balls the size of pancakes are just a little sheen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He encouraged potential visitors to come on down here and play golf, enjoy the beach, catch a fish.
Catch a fish?
Huh. Yeah.
I ain't eaten.
Well, a dead fish. You could catch a dead. There might be a dead fish stuck to your tar ball. So in that sense, you would.
Can you hit tar balls around like tennis balls? I mean, you could do that, I suppose.
I think Jim played in a garage band called the Tar Balls at one point. I'm not sure. Barber, I don't know, I'm sure this is a coincidence. He's chairman of the Republican Governors Association. Oil companies have contributed over $50,000 to RGA since Barber took over. His first year he ran for governor, his campaign received about $2 million from the Republican governors. I'm sure that has nothing to do with. Come to Mississippi, it has a pretty sheen now. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Julie in Los Angeles did with yet another unsolicited testimonial to the Stephanie Miller Show. You hooked my mother like a fish. Steph, so I was visiting my mom in Boston in January. I borrowed her car while there and would listen to you on the car radio. When I went back home again in April, I overheard my 73-year-old mother saying to her friend, Scott Brown, you mean the Senator Fold? Apparently because the radio in her car was on your show, she began listening and is now hooked. Sigrid in Boston, our new loyal listener. Hi, Mom. Yes, your angel is a Senator Fold. Absolutely. Thank you.
Senator.
All right. Oh, and but here's a, well, it's just a bad news letter from me, Mark in Minneapolis, another Dear Steph letter. Dear Steph, I'm dropping you as my fantasy romance. It's me, not you. I rediscovered my attraction to Yvonne Goolagong.
Oh.
See, this is how my social life is going. I'm not even his fantasy romance anymore. It was accidental. I yoo-hooed around the inner Googles. That's right. I Googled Goolagong. Alert Tom Brokaw.
I Googled Yvonne Goolagong.
She's holding up real. She's holding up real nice as Yvonne Goolagong. So sorry. I guess that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Sincerely, Mark in Minneapolis. P.S. Unless of course you harbor some attraction to Yvonne Goolagong, then you're back in the mix. All right. Thanks for the second chance, Mark.
Would you consider it?
I don't
for him.
I don't even remember what Yvonne Goolagong looks like. I think she looked a lot like Meryl Osmond, as I recall, from my 70s.
Well, I mean, she was Aboriginal, so. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's.
she was quite attractive though. I remember in a commercial that she did for like.
Well, apparently she's holding up nicely.
Oh, good for her.
All right. Let's. You know, it's Monday. That means Eric Bollard is here from Media Matters for America. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Well, good piece on the Supreme Court nomination. Although, of course, we're still going to hear all over right-wing world the whole Elena Kagan banned recruiters from
That's
Harvard,
right.
aren't we?
Yeah.
But you were saying that you thought, in your opinion, that the mainstream press did a better job. They did, you know, the Sonia Sotomayor thing. You write a good piece on that they just kept quoting that wise Latina woman thing and playing into that story when, you know, and I'm not even sure I heard that early on, that she wasn't talking about. Well, go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, well, last summer was just this total debacle. I think the press was fishing for an angle, so they really embraced that right-wing talking point, cherry-picking the infamous wise Latina woman quote that Judge Sotomayor had mentioned 8 years ago. She was talking about how they would make interesting intelligent decisions on discrimination cases, but the press presented that as she was making this blanket pronouncement that, you know, Hispanic judges are somehow, you know, genetically superior to everyone else, and that's why Gingrich called her a racist and all that. Everyone reported on that quote. Nobody put it in context. So they just really fed into the GOP.
Right. She wasn't talking about all cases, that it
no,
made much more
not.
Sense when she was talking about race and discrimination cases. Right.
And what justice would look like if there were more minority judges. It was pretty simple. So last summer was a complete debacle. So we fast forward to this summer, and the right wing is trying to claim that when Elena Kagan was dean of the Harvard Law School, she banned military recruiters, she kicked him off campus, etc. That's just not true. Recruitment was always allowed to take place. There was a loophole, there was a brief window while, you know, the federal law about having recruiters on campus was debated, but she never kicked them off. They were always able to recruit. And my point was, unlike last summer's debacle, so far the mainstream press has been doing a pretty good job of being specific in terms of she limited the recruiters to a career office center on campus. She did not ban them. She did not kick them off
campus. Right.
They're
still trying. They're still trying, though. I think it was Jeff Sessions yesterday going, oh, well, they had to go to a, you know, broom closet or something. You know, like this. They keep making up.
That's Go right. Ahead. So they keep pushing this. I think it's sort of indicative. They don't really have much on this nomination at all. So this is the only thing that even has some buzz around it. So the right-wing media, she banned the recruiters. She kicked him off. She's anti-military. But we're not seeing that kind of blanket, categorical, really loaded language in the mainstream press. So, I don't praise the mainstream press very often, but I think they've done a pretty good job in this case of not getting suckered in to the smears like they did last summer with Judge Sotomayor. So maybe chalk it up to a little bit of progress.
Yeah, I suppose. My other favorite, most pathetic thing was the saying that she agreed with Thurgood Marshall that the Constitution was defective. It's like, well, he was talking about the part about slavery. Why do you think the forefathers envisioned, a Bill of Rights?
Because... Well, this was just, we've seen sort of the kitchen sink approach. And again, they don't really have much. He doesn't have much of a paper trail. And what does exist is completely within the mainstream. And so there's sort of throwing everything up, the Constitution. The military banners, banning military recruiters. Was she a socialist because, 20-something years ago she wrote an undergraduate paper at Princeton? But none of this stuff is really sticking. And I think the press is basically acknowledging that this is a non-story. She's going to be confirmed and almost saying, let's move on.
Yeah, and besides, I've never seen so many men disappointed that someone isn't a lesbian. Yes. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on the... this is new on the oil spill?
Mm-hmm.
I see. So it's President Obama's fault, essentially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that all the drilling is happening in the Gulf that deep is because his allies on the left, aren't going to allow it in the intercontinental shelf where it's more safe, and in the Arctic where we know how to do it, and where if you were to have a spill... It would injure, the seals of the caribou, but not humans, as is happening on the Gulf Coast of the United States.
Obama forced the oil companies.
Yeah, may I go on the limb and say, I don't think he knows a lot about various species. Did he just say the seals of the caribou?
Yeah.
Well, also, this is reminiscent of what Bill Kristol was saying a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
We should have the oil drilling closer to the shore.
Ah.
I think his take was, if there's a spill, then we can get to it sooner, or something like this.
Mm.
So Krauthammer also sees this massive historic spill and concludes that we should be doing it closer to our shores.
Yes, and in the wildlife refuge.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Here we go. Hannity on Elena Kagan.
The most notable act in her career, first of all, she has no judicial experience. She's never sat on the bench.
Hmm.
They didn't really highlight that fact. But the most notable act is when she's at Harvard Law, she kicks military recruiters off of campus in violation of federal law, and even the most liberal members of the Supreme Court go against her decision.
There you go.
Yeah, we sort of covered that. This is the attempt to make this blanket sort of hot button issue. She's anti-military. Again, this is sort of the 1960s stereotype of liberals that people like Hannity still cling to. They hate the military, they hate recruiters, they hate soldiers. So they're trying to create this very hot button talking point. She banned them. She literally marched them off campus. None of it's true. But they're going to keep plugging away. But like I said, it hasn't really taken hold. And for these sort of smears to take hold, the right wing needs the Beltway press to embrace it and echo it. And so far, they're not playing along.
Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich on the Fox News yesterday.
As a threat to our way of life, the degree to which the secular socialist left represents a fundamental replacement of America, a very different worldview, a very different outcome, I think is a very serious threat to our way of life.
Why is anybody still paying attention to him?
He likes to say very a lot.
Yeah.
Frankly, I like very a lot, very, very much, frankly.
And yesterday he was saying that, Obama should withdraw, Kagan's nomination because she's,
We have that coming
in the military.
We have that next, actually.
You're so predictable.
Yeah, so once again, apparently people on the left are not America. They are replacing what is the real America.
He's been using these talking points for 15 years. You know, remember when he was Speaker of the House? Weren't the talking points, you know, portray Democrats and liberals as un-American, treacherous, you know, just sort of these evil people? He's been doing it for 15 years, and, you know, his base loves it, and I don't think anyone else really pays attention to him.
Now here was the thing you were psychic about.
I think the president should withdraw it. I think the you don't need a whole lot of hearings. The very fact that she led the effort, which was repudiated unanimously by the Supreme Court, to block the American military from Harvard Law School.
God.
We're in two wars. And I see no reason why you would appoint an anti-military Supreme Court justice or why the Senate would confirm an anti-military Supreme Court justice.
Did you use quotes around the word fact? The fact that...
And I think we were about to hear, I think Chris Wallace actually jumped in and said, and he was about to say in fairness.
Yeah, to be fair.
And even he was pointing out yesterday, you know, almost nothing he said was that she didn't lead this effort. She didn't bar anyone. And let's remember last summer, it was Newt Gingrich who called Judge Sotomayor a racist. So, I mean, this is a shtick. You know, he uses these confirmations to, you know, fundraising for his email and to get his face out there and just say sort of hate.
Well, leave it to him to be the one to jump the shark. The president should withdraw her. I'm sure he will first thing this morning, won't he? He'll withdraw our nomination, because clearly.
But he's a very serious person, Newt Gingrich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was seriously run out of town on a serious rail, but yeah. Glenn Beck at the NRA convention.
The people who will pull their heads out of the sand and actually look at the people that we have running our country, these are not Democrats. These are revolutionaries.
Oh, God.
They are Marxist revolutionaries. They are not Democrats. We need to make sure we reach out to the good Democrats and say, are you a revolutionary Marxist? No. Good, then stand up, man.
Oh.
That should have been an applause line for a crowd like that. And he got no applause.
He got quite weepy at Liberty University as well over the weekend in his commencement address.
Oh, funny you should mention that. All right.
It is God's finger that wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. This is God's country. These are God's rights. I have no idea what he wants us to do with them other than protect them and stand with him.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That crazy train had no stops, huh?
You know, we found out recently God is talking to Glenn Beck, so I'm not quite sure why he is confused about what God wants him to do with these rights, because a couple of weeks ago, he announced that God was talking to him. He's in close contact with the Vatican now, apparently. So he should have a pretty clear idea of God's plan, but I guess maybe at night it's just coming in fuzzy and he's just not getting that.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure whether at this point perhaps, Eric, we're crazier for trying to analyze what Glenn Beck
says. We're getting to that point, am I right? Yeah.
I have a friend that actually used to work at a psychiatric, institution, and she would say, Harriet said her buttons are on her nightgown are screaming at her today. It's like, it's becoming like that, isn't it? It's like, what? How do we know what the hell Glenn Beck meant? He's crazy.
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, who is actually, you know what, it is written by the hand of God, Media Matters for
America. That's right.
All right.
God,
see you next week.
Trademark of Glenn Beck.
Bye, Eric. There he goes.
Oh, my God.
My buttons are screaming at me that these people are Marxist revolutionaries.
I think every time we play a clip, Jim goes, what?
Yeah.
You have to try to even decipher what he said. And it's like, well, who cares what he meant? He's... All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. One of these days, I'm gonna walk all over you.
Let's go, Boots. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere but in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, honey.
Hey, Mama. Two things. Number one is the quitter from Wasilla.
Yes.
I mean, because the news was so disgusting this weekend about the oil spill, I tried to stay awake, and I woke up to hear going, Mr. President, do your job. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
The quitter, she's more accurately the quitter from Twitter, as you know. So she's, she should talk about anybody.
She's quit every job she's had. You know, she takes a tour about a book she didn't write and pretends to ride a bus and all this other stuff. And I'm sick of the media artificially propping them up. And the second thing, in all seriousness, this thing in the Gulf is deadly serious.
Potentially planet-killing. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, it's getting worser and worser. BP said Monday it was siphoning more than one-fifth of the oil that has been spewing into the Gulf for almost a month. As worries escalated, the ooze may reach a major ocean current that could carry it through the Florida Keys and up the East Coast. I mean, first of all, there's already millions of gallons of oil in the Gulf. Computer models show the oil may have already seeped into a powerful water stream known as the Loop Current, which could propel it into the Atlantic Ocean. A marine scientist said this can't be passed off as it's not going to be a problem. This is a very sensitive area. We're concerned with what happens in the Florida Keys. So that's the thing. I just think we don't even have a handle yet on the scale of this.
Well, I mean, the oil field is apparently the size of the Gulf itself. So who knows how long this could go on? It could infect the world's oceans.
And plus, we can only see a certain portion of it because it's on the surface. There's a whole lot of oil that's underneath the water that we don't even know. We can't even see there. Mm-hmm. So we have no idea how much oil is in the Gulf killing. You know,
where is Jacques Cousteau when you need him?
He's dead.
Yeah.
Well, I know that. That was a rhetorical question. Okay. I know that he's dead.
There'd be nothing
he could do either. Dead would be.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything.
I loved his specials, though. I'm just saying. Well, he could report every day from underwater is all I'm saying.
If he were with us.
Hello. I am Jacques Cousteau.
I am swimming in an ocean of oil. This is very, very bad.
Wasn't he sort of like the Marlon Perkins of the sea, Jim? Didn't he always send someone else to do the dangerous things?
His son.
Like,
Philippe, yeah.
He would always send his son.
I am sending him down
Philippe, you
in
go
the very shaky shark cage
you should
while
go.
I snicker from the safety of my submarine.
Go wrestle the Kraken.
That was the whole theme of those 70s wildlife shows, right? Marlon Perkins would be waiting in the safety of the helicopter when I...
Well, Jim's been wrestling the wildebeest.
And so what, Jacques' son was who?
Philippe. Well, he had several sons, but yeah. Philippe was...
I have sent Philippe to poke the manatee with a stick while I wait. I'm just saying it was a...
Manatees really don't kill you.
No.
They're not dangerous.
No.
Manatees. Shark, you know... Great white shark.
Much more dangerous to manatees than they are to us.
Yeah.
All right. I picked the wrong.
You did.
Sea life. I just thought it would be the funniest sea life convention.
Okay. And manatees.
Mike.
Freshwater, anyway.
Jim. Mike in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I'm just going to make this as simple as possible. Okay, if I own a painting company and I hire subcontractors for the painting job and one of them kick over a can of paint on the customer's carpet, I'm responsible for the cleanup and the replacement of anything damaged, even if it's by another subcontractor, because contractually it's my job. And then at a later date, it's up to me to get reimbursed by the subcontractor who did the damage.
Right.
So why are the states in the Gulf that are being decimated by this having to front cash for all this cleanup when most of these states are so broke they can't even pay attention?
But the poor oil companies can't possibly help out. They're strapped.
And why aren't all three of these companies' work permits revoked until the cleanup investigations are complete? And why isn't the Department of Justice already investigating MMS?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
all
exactly.
That should be happening.
Yeah.
That's why Obama's the big government socialist. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about Salazar yesterday.
Now, from the day he took office as Interior Secretary, Ken Salazar has recognized these problems, and he's worked to solve them. Oftentimes, he has been slammed by the industry, suggesting that somehow these necessary reforms would impede economic growth. Well, as I just told Ken, we are going to keep on going to do what needs to be done.
Republican strategist Rich Galen next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, no offense, but if that is a woman, it does look like she was beaten with an ugly stick.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are joined now by Rich Galen, our favorite right-wing tool, Republican strategist. Republican strategist. I'm sorry, Rich. I always get that title wrong. Good morning, sir.
Don't bother me now. I'm working on my new iPad 3G. Oh, you don't have one? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Ah!
Oh, you are insufferable. Now, Rich.
Ma'am.
Being that you are a fancy strategist and all, what? So, you know, everybody's asking this question. What is going on? Obviously, we got elections coming up on Tuesday. Is it an anti-incumbent thing? Is everybody in trouble?
Yeah, I think they are. I think it's an anti-Washington thing. Mm-hmm. Although when you get into places like Pennsylvania, where you've got a Congressman Sestak, or Sestak, however you pronounce it, running against Specter, it's not clear in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate. They're both members. They're both, you know, on Capitol Hill. So I'm not sure where that comes down. This, I think tomorrow when all the dust clears, Wednesday or Thursday, it'll give everybody something to talk about and write about to claim, see, I told you so. I mean, whether mm-hmm. Blanche Lincoln gets to 50% in Arkansas, whether Ron Paul's son, Rue, is the
Rand. His name is Rand.
I know, but RuPaul's funny.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
See?
Oh, I get it. That's funny.
Yeah, okay. Now I'll slow down a little bit.
Okay. Thanks.
But whether the Tea Party candidate beats the candidate of the Republican Party in Kentucky in that primary, I mean, there's a lot going on, and I think it's a muddle. And I'll tell you something. If you get out of Washington D.C., which I try to do, because you know, I talk to the other 57 people that do what I do, and we all sit around and convince each other that we're right, and we have no idea what real people are thinking. But this is really as ugly, and I don't mean physically ugly. I mean, as people are as uncomfortable as I've seen them outside of Washington, frankly, since the 60s. I mean, this is really not a good time.
Well, I mean, that's the thing I was saying earlier, and I think there's one thing we've all learned, and that only Stephanie Miller is always right, because it seems like the Beltway Pounditocracy, you're right. I mean, they've been almost wrong about every storyline, haven't they? I mean, from the primary with Obama, that he's, you know, there's no way he's going to beat the Clinton machine, to the right. General election. I mean, almost every storyline has ended up being wrong, and I remember people saying, oh, there's no way, Sestak has no chance, and what's he up today? Did I hear 7? He's up 7 points
yeah,
in the last poll?
I mean, you're absolutely right, and that's the danger of being in Washington and trying to write about Washington, is that you get caught up in the Washington, the Washington shorthand, and it's the old, I mean, you know, the boys on the bus. I mean, it is very difficult to be the outlier and say, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. This is what's going to happen, because then before you know it, CNN quits calling and Fox never calls, and you know, you only get on Stephanie Miller once every 3 months because they don't think you know what you're talking about.
I would be insulted if I had any standards at all. Now, Rich.
Yeah,
you know, but I think the thing is, you know, the other thing that I hear over and over, I just feel like the influence of the Tea Party has been exaggerated. It's become sort of a media story. I mean, to me, it's more bad news for the Republican Party than good, isn't it? I mean, when you have somebody like Bennett run out of, he's not conservative enough in
Utah?
Well,
that happened I think that's right. It happened in a convention, which is different than the primary. Going back to what you said earlier, I mean, the reason that it's not President Hillary Clinton is because her people didn't understand the difference between caucuses and primaries, and Barack Obama's folks did. But the issue, I think, with the Tea Party, and I wrote about this about a month ago. Oh, I know what it was. Is right after Kay Bailey Hutchison got buried by Rick Perry in the primary in Texas for governor,
right.
and the Tea Party candidate, although she ran as a Republican, got nearly 20% of the vote, and she was a nut. I mean, she was a nut mm-hmm. that nobody knew, but yet people, 1 out of 5 Republican voters in Texas voted for her because they didn't want either one of the other two. So I think you're exactly right. Now, what I would do if I were the If I were the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, or either one of the two campaign committees, especially the House Campaign Committee on the Democratic side, I would be looking for money to teach Tea Party candidates how to get ballot access in the 40 or 45 districts that I was most concerned about. Even if they only siphon off 5 or 7 or 10% of the vote, that will be enough to save a lot of those seats, which otherwise they are likely to lose.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other, you know, conventional wisdom in, you know, in the punditocracy is, oh, the Democrats are just going to take a beating of epic proportions. I'm sure you saw this new poll, the Associated Press poll just out. People want Democrats to control Congress after this fall's election, a shift from April. And I'll grant you the margin is thin on that one, but still, you know, this is what people have been saying is just wait. The economy obviously showing signs of improving. The health care debate has passed. What do you think?
I'm paid to think that Republicans are going to sweep in with flags a-flying.
Yes.
Although, I went from... I don't think it's much of a chance to I think there is a possibility to now I think it's about 50-50 in the House, not in the Senate, but I think it's 50-50 because the Republicans don't have to pick up all that many for a midterm election. 41 seats or so would do it. 40 seats, you know, would get you to 218. But I think that is doable in a midterm election, especially in a first midterm. So
saying, do you think it helps the Republicans to be the party on the side of, you know, the big insurance companies, on the side of the big banks, on the side of big oil?
Sure, we've got to get our money from somewhere. Where the hell do you think the money's coming from?
Well, you have a point there.
At least he's an honest right-wing tool.
That's right.
But, that's the thing. You know, the Republicans, I saw Mitch McConnell, he said, well, we're mad about this, too, this oil spill. Oh, but, you know, as a strategist, would you have advised them to have a fundraiser with oil company executives in Washington last week at the same time these hearings were going on? I mean...
I also wouldn't have counseled President Obama to go up to a fundraiser on Wall Street while all that's going on, which he did. Also last week. So, yeah. I mean, let me tell you something. I mean, I've been around this money thing for a long time, and I have just about turned around 180 degrees about how we need to finance these campaigns. If we don't want public financing, then I think we have to institute something like the British law where you have to limit the amount of campaign time just so that we have to do something to limit the amount of money on both sides. I mean, mm-hmm. and for somebody to say, well, it doesn't really influence votes, that's crap. It does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about, speaking of politics, the Elena Kagan nomination. I mean, you've seen a lot of these fights play out. How is this one shaping up to you?
Oh, yeah, she'll sail through. I think she'll probably get, you know, 70 votes. I wrote in the column I wrote this morning, I pointed out the fact that that the senior Republican on Judiciary, Jeff Sessions, is making a big deal about the fact that she would not allow military recruiters on the campus when she was the dean of the law school. And what I wrote was, you know, if you're smart enough to be admitted to Harvard Law, you're probably smart enough to find a recruiter if you want one. And in fact, I went on Google and I listed the three closest ones, the one that's a joint recruiting office, one's an Army and one's a Navy, and the farthest one was 7 miles away. And I said, I'm not smart enough to get into the Harvard bookstore, and I could find them in 30 seconds. So, and I understand, you know, and I wrote it, and my right-wing readers were mad at me because I was, you know, it's a law that you can't do that, and she's violating the law. But my point was, you know, if that's what the Republicans are going to base their opposition on, for most people that sounds small and petty. And to me it sounds small and petty. And so I just think they're going to have to, if they want to stop this, they ought to. But having said
well,
that,
and I will give them.
I don't think they ought to. This is a, you know, I don't think if I were at MoveOn.org, I'd be furious at this. At this nomination. I mean, she's not anything like what I think Obama promised me he was going to put on the court.
Yeah,
so
no, I hear you.
Concerned. We ought to just, you know, smile, nod, vote aye, and let 30 people vote no just because they have to.
What I love about your side, though, is they don't care if they look like giant hypocrites. There they are, the same people on record saying Harriet Myers was just eminently qualified.
Nobody
are saying
Harriet
she
Myers
has no to do. What's that?
Nobody said Harriet Myers is a good pick. I mean, that's why she got a bailout.
Yeah. Republican senators are on record as saying, it doesn't matter, judicial experience, blah, blah.
Oh, no, let me tell you something. She failed the face-to-face meetings. She spent one day starting to work the senators, and they pulled her back to the White House, and about an hour later she decided that she wanted to go back to Dallas. No. I'm for people that are not – I think it's good to have somebody, at least one, if not more, that haven't been lifetime judges.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as others have pointed out, I think I would prefer, you know, if you could find the perfect candidate that would be acceptable to President Obama, somebody that went to, you know, a Chicago School of Law or, you know, California or someplace. Because they're all from Yale and Harvard. None of that. Somebody pointed out the other day. I wish I remember where I read it because I'd find it again. That if you go back over the last, you know, three or four presidential elections, not only is every president from Harvard or Yale,
yes,
but the
exactly.
loser was from Harvard or Yale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that, you know, that there's ever been like a fry cook. You know, it's like, oh, come on, you know. Rich Galen, of all the right-wing tools, you are the least tooliest, and that's why we have a vague level of affection for you. But I appreciate your time. It's Mullings.com, isn't
it? Yes, it is. That's exactly right.
Is your right-wing tool thing?
It's a big hammer.
We always appreciate your time. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Stephanie.
There he goes. Rich Galen. He's a Republican.
You got a RuPaul reference. That would say.
You don't get that from Republicans every day.
No, his humor is so dry. It's like an arid desert. That's why I didn't catch that. I saw a tumbleweed came by when he did that joke. All right. 45.
I thought
45.
He was referring to a character from, you know, Winnie the Pooh. Roo. Hey, Pooh.
45 minutes after the hour. All right, back with all the latest on the oil spill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ziggy,
ziggy. What?
Ziggy. Hey. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You can call me Ziggy. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Stephan Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, sister.
Hey, guys. Hey, the hand of God helped me call your show
Thank
today.
You.
You know, the more I learn about this oil spill, that it's clear to me that BP stands for bastard people.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
We know for sure it does not stand for backup plan. That's already been determined.
You know, I can't really talk, I mean, totally seriously, because I just am so sad about this. I mean, they're so creepy. I mean, I watched 60 Minutes last night, and I'm here and just bawling. You know, it's just horrible, and they try and pretend like it's not a big deal. This is freaking huge.
I know. Huge. I know. Jim, did you hear this latest thing? Everything BP says, I'm just like, the CEO last week said something about, well, you know, there's a lot of water in the ocean compared to
oil.
Yeah.
It's just a drop in the ocean, you see.
Yes, exactly.
Hence the phrase.
So, you know, obviously the concern, Chris, you brought this up earlier about in getting into the stream that obviously could reach the sensitive Florida Keys and the beaches on the entire Atlantic seaboard.
Eventually reach all the oceans of the world.
Sure.
So, 50 million barrels under there, supposedly.
So BP now has claimed that the oil would be less damaging to the Keys after traveling over hundreds of miles from the spill.
How do they...
It's not really oil when it travels that far anymore.
No.
It becomes a...
It becomes a floating rainbow.
It becomes root beer. It's a root beer float.
Exactly.
Think of it as a root beer float.
Exactly. What the hell are you talking about?
It's nicer than a spill.
Oh, somebody did compare it to a soda pop, didn't they? Oh, wait. Give me cut eight. This is Bob Dudley. Jim, this is the BP managing director. It's like soda.
This crude is what's called a light sweet crude. It has lots of gas, and when it comes out, it expands very rapidly. A little bit like bubbles in a soda pop. So it's very difficult to look at it and say that this, the volume would be much higher. We certainly don't see that at the surface. The NOAA satellite photographs, which are fairly accurate in terms of where the crude is coming up, you measure the thickness of the crude, a lot of it evaporates very quickly.
It's like a sweet, like a root beer float.
It's like soda pop. It just will evaporate eventually.
Like soda
Think of
pop.
It like Willy Wonka. It's sweet and and bubbly.
And in a world of pure catastrophe.
Yeah, but when you drink that soda pop, you float upwards towards the big exhaust fan, and then you get cut in half by it. I saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I know what goes on.
Can I have my squeezy music, please? You know, Rude Pundit was right, Jim. This is the dirtiest sounding disaster ever. So you know the insertion tube was, after several attempts, it was working, sort of. All right. We already determined earlier, Chris, that they had a better weekend than I did, you know.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
So
my personal life's still a bigger disaster than this. The insertion tube, the junk packing they have not tried yet.
No.
Junk packing. Wow.
But the insertion tube, early Sunday, hours before a steady connection was made, engineers were able to suck a small amount of oil to the tanker, but the tube was dislodged. You know that happens sometimes.
No, sure.
That's
embarrassing.
Yeah. A little bit too much to drink, you know. The previous day, equipment used to insert the tube into the gushing pipe at the ocean floor had to be hauled to the surface for a readjustment. They had to readjust their junk.
Sure.
Yeah. A little bit, because it was not inserting into the gushing pipe properly. The first chance to choke off the flow for good.
Good God.
Should come in about a week. Engineers plan to shoot heavy mud into the crippled blowout preventer.
Well, this isn't turning me on somehow.
On top of the well, then permanently entomb the leak in concrete. Ooh.
So,
okay. If that doesn't...
If it had a blowout preventer, why wasn't a blowout prevented?
Because it's one of those things literally. Like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
If that doesn't work, crews can also shoot golf balls and knotted rope into the nooks and crannies of the device to plug it.
We've added knotted rope to it?
Yes.
Oh, that's new.
That rope is very knotty. Or not, if you're mixing with me.
All right.
It's still a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
All right. It is, and we don't know how big the leak is, as the president was saying yesterday. President
Obama. There have been
yesterday.
Varying reports over the last few days about how large the leak is, but since no one can get down there in person, we know there's a level of uncertainty.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we could just trust BP's word for it. Everything they've said so far has been startlingly accurate. Okay, the Coast Guard Commandant.
Top hat is a device over the leak that will collect oil and take it to the surface. BP has also looked at another opportunity where they might be able to actually tap into the pipe and put a pipe in there as a risk mitigator. But the main effort today is the top hat and trying to get that oil to the surface through a pipe and then evacuate it.
Unfortunately, as we know now, the top
that
hat
didn't work.
Didn't work, no. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was the portable hole from the Roadrunner cartoon. That did not work.
No.
Bill Snapes, who is from the Center for Biological Diversity.
This is probably the greatest environmental disaster in American history. Upwards of 25,000 barrels of oil are still leaking every day.
Oh, dear God. Okay, and this Doug Suttles from BP on the planter's peanut hat.
Our second alternative to capture the flow is the top hat system. The top hat is currently sitting on the seafloor and is available as our alternative choice. I think, as everyone knows, the people of this region and all of us associated with this exercise know the most important thing to do is to find a way as expediently as possible to stop the flow.
Yeah, of course, we have no idea how to do that, but I think we all know that's the important thing. Did we put any money into that?
Peter says no.
No. Jim, they're saying the only permanent solution is to drill a relief well, Chris? And that could be months away.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we don't really have any idea how much of the oil they're catching or not.
Really,
so,
are only stopping one-fifth of the flow now with the insertion tube.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Thanks a lot, BP. Thanks. Oh, by the way, in an effort to encourage tourism, the Mississippi Gulf Coast officials are offering $75 gas cards.
Oh, no.
I think that's good. To encourage people to become even more dependent on oil. I think that's... We'll talk about that and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website, check it out. There's some pictures of me and Hal Sparks and my doggies at AIDS Walk in New York yesterday.
Was that taken with your BlackBerry?
Yes.
You need to clean the lens of your camera.
Yeah, I thought it was like a bit foggy in Central Park. I don't remember that.
Yeah, just take a Q-tip and,
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Sure.
You can email us all there as well, executive producer Chris Lemoyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Mark did with a complaint letter, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Miss Stephanie Miller, I have a complaint regarding your show. What with the constant coverage of the right-wing shenanigans, corporate bullpuckery, celebrity dumbness, all of which I'm trying to tune out, the sundry and tawdry antics of Ms. Miller's mooks, pets, guests, acquaintances, live bloggers, producers, call screeners, I can hardly get anything done. Had only those Catholic teaching sisters done a better job and slapped the snark right out of Ms. Miller's mouth, I might be a sober, productive member of society today. By the way, I am the official drunken biker wannabe future husband of the Stephanie Miller Show, aren't I? Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Mark. That means a lot to me. Good. Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesse in Iowa. This is for you, Jim. It's for you. Squeezy stack.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mama. Down in New Orleans, KWGNO News did a story about how there's a doctor giving out the G-shot, a procedure designed to make the G-spot more accessible during intercourse. Oh, I imagine that takes some research on his part to figure out where it is first.
Well...
At the conclusion of the story, anchor Michael Hill asked the one question I'm sure was on a lot of people's minds, namely in regard to one of the women in the featured in the story. So she's enjoying penis a little bit more, is she? Of course, that's now all over the internet, especially on the YouTubes.
Oh, God.
Not since Tiger Woods' bulging have we had such hilarity on the inter-YouTubal things.
Inter-YouTubals.
Okay. I announced earlier that I, for some reason, In-N-Out was my crack in L.A., and now the Shake Shack burger I have discovered here in New York is my new crack, and now I found out they were just both gateways to the sumo burger.
What is a sumo burger? Is it like a Japanese-flavored burger?
Nix. You get a sumo burger. It's like the size of a hubcap. I'm on a burger frenzy.
Does it have Japanese ingredients in it?
Who knows? It's just,
no,
I think it's a size thing.
It makes you look like a sumo wrestler. So it's a reference to size and not culture. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have seaweed on it or anything.
In a related story, Heinz plans to change their ketchup recipe. Oh, wash that down with a can of new Coke. Are you kidding me? For the first time in 40 years, Heinz Ketchup is changing its famous recipe by lowering the salt content. Oh, in an effort to appeal to more health-conscious consumers.
And probably raising the... corn syrup content.
Here's a little, hey, Heinz, here's a tip for you. People use it to dip fries in, okay? So they're not really concerned about the...
You know what's good on fries? Mayonnaise.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mayonnaise I like mustard.
Mayonnaise is good on anything.
That'll have to be Heinz 58 now.
I saw this headline. I right away assumed it was my 87-year-old Republican mother. A woman 87 accused of selling crack. But no, it was not.
Peter says no.
It's not my mom. It was in Pensacola, Florida. She sold a $20 piece of crack to an undercover officer. That's not good.
No. That's just not done.
My mom sticks to stealing old ladies' money at bridge, pretty much.
And sweet and low packets from the diner.
Yes. Oh, this one could have been me. A man was bitten as he tried to take a picture of a black bear in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
And now a story about a bear.
That's
why they invented the telephoto lens.
That's right.
No, you remember I told you the story years ago. I went to Alaska with friends, and I kept saying that. That was like the running joke. I was like, take my picture with the bear, because there's a lot of bears. And I'd be like, oh, get this picture. It's in the back. And they'd be like, what are you doing? No.
I want to go pet the bear.
It's amazing you're alive today, Stephanie. It really is.
Some crazy bastard man that was staying at the same place, he took me on a hike, because, you know, I love to hike. I was like, oh, this is great. And I was up a stream, and I was like, you know, there's a lot of half-eaten berries and salmon here. And he's like, oh, it's a grizzly trail. I was like, oh.
What could possibly go wrong?
What are we doing here? But I did. I survived that.
It wasn't the guy trying to kill you for the life insurance money, was it?
No. This was many years before I even knew the guy who was trying to kill me for the life insurance money. All right. Celebrity stack. Mick Jagger's daughter would pose topless. I think that's a... Mm. Jim, this is made for you. It's Squeezy News and Mick Jagger News.
Wow.
Lizzie Jagger would model topless.
Lizzie Jagger?
Lizzie.
Lizzie. Oh.
Her name's Elizabeth.
It's not that squeezy.
Okay.
The 26-year-old model regrets turning down an offer a number of years ago to pose nude for Playboy because she said she would be happy to expose her breastises now. She said, actually, Dad was fine with it when I started modeling. Oh, who knew that he wasn't a more conservative sort of father? Huh. I was 20 and I'd already done pictures with my breasts out. So, you know, Mick, all
it's not
for
a big
it.
Deal, really. Been there, I mean, done that.
I don't know if he's Billy Ray Cyrus creepy, but still, you know, not Donald Trump creepy, but
yeah,
still.
Billy Ray Cyrus is getting creepier and creepier.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, did you see this one? These superficial. Billy Ray Cyrus approves of Miley's lap dance. Billy Ray Cyrus doesn't see anything wrong with his teenage daughter provocatively dancing against a 44-year-old man.
Wow.
This was a video, was it?
Mm-hmm.
It was even reported that several people left the party after the dance display because they felt uncomfortable or had small children with them. TMZ caught up with Billy Ray Cyrus about his thoughts on the video. He replied, it's what people her age do.
People her age who have lousy parents, yes.
Yes.
Who have creepy fathers, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Anthony Hopkins hates socializing with friends or family, and if people are boring him at one of his own dinner parties, he simply leaves them and goes to sleep. Or perhaps opening a bottle of Chianti would do the trick.
Anyone care for fava beans?
Yeah, putting some fava beans on the stove. Mm-hmm.
I've been known to doze off at one of my own parties or two.
Or pass out.
Well,
whatever you call it.
Sure.
You wake up and you're eating your own brains.
Yes.
Wow. This was a mistake.
Barbara Walters is recovering from surgery to repair a faulty heart valve.
Hooray!
And it went just fine. The doctors are pleased with the outcome. She'll be back to asking people really nosy questions again soon.
What if it makes her be able to pronounce the letter L?
Wacky, why wouldn't you talk to me about your sex? Well, why wouldn't why? Why wait? All right, on a completely unrelated story, Tom Cruise was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Again, and he said, life is very good. I'm very happy. Kids are growing up. Love my wife.
I love my wife.
Oh, no.
That was inevitable.
He did. He said he loves his wife.
I love my wife.
And who are we not to believe him? Okay, Matt Lauer on Delisted reporting. Matt Lauer is all mad about the rumors that his wife of 12 years has thrown his ass out to the curb after she suspected him of cheating with several hoes in Vancouver last February. He said, I'm living in my apartment with a dad and my children as a family and a couple. He also loves his wife. There's a lot of I love my wife.
I love my wife.
In celebrity stack today. Mm-hmm. All right. I love this one. Delisted writing. In news that will shock no one, another woman has come forward to claim that Roman Polanski did wrong things to her back in the 80s when she was 16 years old. British actress Charlotte Lewis and her attorney Gloria Allred, who is literally the only attorney in the entire world, held a press conference in Los Angeles. So that's like the traffic's bad in L.A.? Oh, Gloria Allred held a press conference? It's just another day in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, the sun's out? Okay.
Actually, it's not.
Yeah, the sun's not out here.
Oh, it's not
here.
Today?
It's,
pardon
it's
me.
It's overwhelmingly cloudy today.
Oh, I apologize.
We've got a little rain coming in, too.
All right. And my final, I don't know, is this delisted? But it's one of my personal favorite stories. It's Courtney Love's freak out at Heathrow Airport.
Mm-hmm.
This is the, I guess she... This is another Courtney Love freakout. Okay.
She is Dolly Parton.
Courtney brought her crazy act to Heathrow when she started throwing her panties and bras all over the place while repacking her luggage. Even homeless dudes with shopping carts full of used kitty litter and broken Precious Moments figurines think this bitch is crazy. The New York Post writes she was shrieking at her assistant. I told you already to get rid of that Burberry scarf. Oh. Again on the flight, screaming into coach where her poor harried assistant sat. Why are you just sitting there? What are you doing about my Kindle? I need a charger cable for my Kindle.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
D-listed writing, are we sure Courtney even has an assistant? I would have been surprised if she was. I wouldn't have been surprised if she was yelling at an imaginary assistant while swatting at the bugs in her hair. Those bugs are trying to dig into her brain so they can eat her thoughts and then run back to her enemies. So I totally understand why she would swat at them. And if Courtney really does have an assistant, well, I would hope for his sake that he's 90% deaf in both ears and knows someone with unlimited amounts of morphine.
Or instead of the cable for her Kindle, she could, I don't know, buy a paperback? They have those at the airport.
Yeah.
Exactly. Brad in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the oil spill. Hello, Brad.
Yeah, I called to talk about the oil spill real quick, but before I do, I have a quick request. Could you do the Tom Cruise quote followed by the boner quote?
Boner quote? Which one's the boner quote?
Hell no, you don't.
Oh, okay. All right. He wants a little audio crack, Chris.
Yeah, all right.
I love my wife.
Okay, here we go. And
hell no, you can't!
Okay. All right, Brad, go ahead.
But anyway, I just wanted to call. First of all, the insertion tube?
Yes.
Is that what they're... Okay, so
yes.
We're not going to need the golf balls? And
Well, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
We may also need to junk pack after we insert the tube.
So I should still be gathering my balls and my, I guess now we need a rope of some kind?
Yes.
A knotted rope.
A knotted rope.
Okay, so they've added the knotted rope. Because for a while there I was wondering why just golf balls and tires specifically?
I don't know. I mean, you know, that's a good question.
I mean, no knickknacks, you know, we don't want any marbles or any, you know, no lawn equipment or anything like that.
I don't know, lawn darts, something.
With all of this stuff they're going to junk pack this thing with, it sounds like they're packing for a trip to Bangkok.
Yes. You know what? Now I must find that out. Why is it golf balls and tires? That just seems really random.
And knotted rope.
Maybe it's just stuff their VP's just pulling it out of their
stuff
ass like normal.
Stuff they found in the trunk of that crazy astronaut lady.
That's right!
Maybe there is no actual rhyme or reason. Maybe it's just stuff they made up at a press conference. And then our next plan is to, after many years of research,
we found that there's an excess of flubber around, and we decided to stuff a hole full of that.
Yes! Wasn't that... Who was in that movie, Flubber? Was that a Robin Williams film?
The remake was. Fred McMurray was in the original.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea, Flubber. As good an idea as anybody else's. Why not? Flubber. Okay, 18. We've selected
found the
Flubber.
Quantity of silly putty. It was we are endeavoring to shove down the massive...
Silly putty!
There you go. 18. And that way you can read comics before you stuff it in there, too.
Read comics backwards.
Yes.
Yes.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Robert in California. Welcome to it. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that criticizing BP is a little bit unpatriotic and un-American when we should be trying to help BP. This is our ocean. And the one thing that in 1966, the Russians had the same exact problem, and they utilized actually a tactical nuclear weapon to close the hole. That's not what I'm suggesting. But there is this substance called thermite. There is this substance called thermite that we heard a lot about in 9/11, that it would actually melt that pipe and disintegrate it. So I think their criteria, it may be wrong. They may be trying to save the well when we may be needing to say, screw the well and save the ocean.
Uh-huh. So the important thing is saving the oil well. Not the, the ocean or the ecosystem.
No, you're saying the opposite.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that may be, what we need to see is someone needs to get in there and question them. All your guys trying to do is save the well. Because if that's what you're trying to do, that's what's the problem. You need to just close the well, period. Don't worry about the oil.
Yeah, I see. All right. How is it unpatriotic, though? Go back for a minute to criticize BP.
I just think that you're not helping the problem. You're exasperating them. It's kind of like, you know, you're
trying to hold them accountable is being unpatriotic.
But holding them accountable would be questioning their criteria. Is all you guys trying to do is get the oil out of the well? Is that what you're trying to do?
What does patriotism have to do with it?
I guess you're probably right. It's not patriotic. It's just I help.
Plus, they're a British company, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's the most patriotic thing we can do is criticize a greedy British company that didn't spend any money on...
BP actually stands for British Petroleum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, weeks after the oil spill, Newt Gingrich still continued his drill here, drill now mantra, writing that human progress is not without risk, and offshore drilling is no exception.
Oh, well, okay then. Then everything's
fine. He was at the NRA conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Think Progress asked him, so given the scale of the oil spill in the Gulf, do you think that it represents an acceptable risk to continue offshore drilling? Yes, frankly. One oil spill, I love this, one oil spill since 1969 with 4,000 wells? First of all.
You're a lying sack of crap.
If the Coast Guard had a reasonable research program, we'd be much further down the road to solving this kind of thing. Oh, I see, it's the Coast Guard's fault.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Think Progress asked him whether he agrees with Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour's recent campaign to encourage tourists to visit Gulf beaches despite oil and dead sea animals washing ashore. Gingrich hesitated for a moment and said, of course. By the way, his claim that there's been just one spill since 1969, not...
What?
Between 92 and 98, there were 319 failures of blowout preventers found in the U.S. offshore drilling, an average of 45 a year. Between 92 and 2006, there were at least 39 blowouts off the U.S. coastline. From 2007 to 2009, there were 19 blowouts. So, nice try. Nice try, Nudie. Yeah, I would think, if nothing else, Chris, they would need to change the name of that. From a blowout preventer, wouldn't they?
Yeah, because it did nothing of the sort.
Yeah, not so much. Let's go to David in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm squishing Haley Barbour's head in my mind as you were talking
I'm
about
squishing
him.
His head,
God,
too.
He just makes me ill. Anyways, BP, they've been lying since the get-go for 28 days. They've been lowballing the numbers. It's a catastrophe, and they have the nerve to, you know, put the cart before the horse and ask, try to manipulate Congress to cap, you know, the money that it's going to cost to clean this up. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's not safe, and, you know, for them to point the finger at each other and not try to, you know, explain to the people. I mean, you know, if that oil rig did not blow up, but the well, you know, collapsed and there wasn't any smoke or anything, we probably wouldn't have heard about this leak.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. The stuff they say is so incredulous. This last thing I was mentioning, I don't even know what they're talking about. Oh, won't that be that bad if it hits the Keys? Because after it travels that far, it's not so bad anymore.
Right.
It's not even oil anymore. It
turns into floating unicorns.
What? I mean, who do they really think? Like, they have no credibility at this point. Jason in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jason.
Yeah, I'm not an engineer by any means, just a truck driver. But this seems to me like, they're trying to save the oil. They don't care about the ocean because if they were really trying to clog this thing up and stop it to where they, you know, didn't have access to anymore, they could run a pipe down to it and just pump it full of concrete. You know, that oil's not blasting out with a whole lot of pressure. You know, the pictures they've shown on TV, it's just kind of coming out the end and floating up. You know, it's not a whole...
Yeah, I hear you. Well, they're not engineers either, apparently. We're 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
For some reason, I continue to opt for honesty, despite mounting evidence that it's inexorably transforming me into an old woman alone in a one-room apartment filled with 30-year-old newspapers and cats.
Substitute dogs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Jimmy, here I spent yesterday with a friend of mine that has two kids, though, three
yes,
and six.
Yes, I heard that. Wow.
Yeah, so I've seen how the other side lives, and being
not
a childless loser, not so bad.
Yeah.
You know what it is, Jim? It's you don't have kids either, but it's like a 24/7 hostage crisis is what it is.
Right.
There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of blackmail going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we took the kids to what's the thing called, Chris?
The playground.
Playground is what they call them.
It's like a bark park for kids.
I understand it now.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can tell you where every dog run is. I have like GPS in my head, but the playgrounds, I'm like, really?
Except generally you don't have to carry around plastic bags for the kids.
Although sometimes...
Yeah, of course. Anyway, but it was, she's like, you guys go in there and play. Mommy's going to talk to her friend down here. And it was just a constant, Mommy, come in here now. No, you watch your brother. I'm talking to my friend. I'm not going to watch him unless you come in here. Well, I won't need to come in there then I won't need you to watch him if I come in, will I? But you finish talking now. Finish your sentence and that's it and you come in now.
Wow.
It's very tense.
Yeah. Like I said.
You need a bullhorn.
My mom would have backhanded me.
Yeah.
I would have. If I were talking to her like that, holy cow.
I would have been punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
She's a Manhattan parent, All right. So, what was I going to say? I'm just not in the mood for complaint mail today.
What happened?
Apparently, I don't care about the environment because I eat hamburgers the size of my head and I'm making jokes about the oil spill. So that's... From Patrick, all right.
But hamburgers are delicious.
Exactly. We were whining about the Daily Show ripping us off again, and someone said, you guys should talk. You play those clips that are from other shows. I'm like,
yeah, that's
yes,
different.
But I don't think we're representing as our own.
Right.
I think any moron knows that it's a clip from a TV show or a movie or something.
I'm on one of those days where I just hate people.
What was it you got from somebody that email saying that VP
doesn't stand for British Petroleum. It stands for Beyond Petroleum. It's on their website.
It was on the TV and I saw it, so that's why.
That's their slogan. Beyond Petroleum is their slogan. The name of the company is British Petroleum.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, they're trying to show how green they are. All the windmills and things that they're...
So, as I mentioned, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour has been downplaying the oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
He claims the new spill isn't anything like Exxon Valdez. Yes, that's true in that it's much, much worse already.
Right. Yes.
He said to come on down here, play golf, enjoy the beach, catch a fish.
Yeah.
Mississippi officials now encouraging tourists to use more oil, offering people gas cards if they come to the region. So they can be more dependent on oil. Wouldn't that be great? They're offering $75 gas cards for those who book a two-night stay at one of the participating hotels or resorts listed online. Residents can also sign up online for a chance to win one of four getaway packages. State tourism officials planning to pressure BP to pay $7.5 million a month for a national advertising campaign in the aftermath of the oil spill.
Yeah,
I bet that would be enticing.
Howdy! I'm sure y'all have heard about that little kerfluffle the lamestream media are calling an oil spill, as if it was some kind of ecological disaster or whatever those nanny-pamby liberals keep whining about. But we're here to tell you Mississippi is open for business. Your pals at BP are offering you a $75 gas card just for using their fine product and staying in one of their fine hotels along the Gulf Coast. Come on down for world-class fishing. And now it's easier than ever. What with the fish not putting up much of a fight and all?
Oh, no.
And check out a world-class cuisine. Blackened catfish, blackened shrimp, blackened monkfish, blackened squid. Beach you can wash it down. You can wash it down with local vintages like the velvety smooth 2010 Biloxi Pinot Noir or Light Sweet Crude with hints of blackberry, vanilla, and tar. Actually, a whole lot of tar. Pairs well with oil-soaked cormorant. So come on down and bring one of some lava soap and some of the little scrubby things. Come on back now, you hear? Please? Please?
Do they still sell lava soap?
I don't know, but I remember it.
I sent the catchphrase in the making.
Yeah.
Mississippi, come on! The fish aren't even putting up a fight anymore. They're so weak, you can just hit them in the head with a tar ball.
Oh, no. That's not funny. You're not an environmentalist.
See? Yeah, exactly. Let me take a big bite of my hubcap-sized burger now and play one of my sound bites that I'm implying that I wrote.
I am not one of your fans!
Burger has a huge carbon footprint. I don't know if I would touch that.
Shut up, Al Gore. Throw a terror ball at you.
Jay, it's Detroit. You're here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jay.
Good morning, Mama. You know, how about this? Why don't we just seize all of BP's assets in North America, liquidate them, don't afford them for the protection of bankruptcy, because that's for companies that, you know, intend to do business legally, and I bet you they would find the will to cap that well tomorrow or the next day.
Well,
sitting up here telling us that it's going to take a week, a month, or it's going to work its way around Florida and everything's okay and they're more interested in the oil. This is obscene, and companies don't deserve to exist who are going to do this to the environment. And they're going to cap the damages at, you know, a couple mil here or there. They made $6 billion in the last quarter.
Mm-hmm. I've had I mean, it's obscene. What they make, an hour a day.
Were the socialist that Republicans complaining he is, he would have done that by now.
Yeah. All right, here is a... You know, Jim, they're always saying they're the fiscal conservatives.
Yes.
The Republicans, as you know.
Right. It must be true, because they keep saying it.
Although the RNC spending on lesbian simulated bondage, whatever.
Computers, yeah.
Well, better be at least real bondage.
Exactly.
You're spend all that money.
What kind of fiscal conservative spends money on fake lesbian sex? latest story, Governor Rick Perry. Did you see this? With the state facing a budget shortfall of at least $11 billion, Texas Governor Rick Perry spent almost $600,000 in public money during the past 3 years to live in a sprawling rental home.
Huh.
It costs more than $10,000 a month in rent, utilities, and upkeep to the house Perry in a 5-bedroom, 7-bath mansion that has pecan wood floors. A gourmet kitchen, 3 dining rooms. He's also spent $130,000 in campaign donations to throw parties, buy food and drink, pay for cable TV, and a host of other services since he moved in. Perry has asked state agencies, meanwhile, to cut their budgets by 5%, and the Republican House Speaker has begun to consider furloughs and shortened work day breaks for state employees.
You know what? Go ahead and secede. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perry dismissed such criticism with a laugh when asked about it by the Associated Press. The governor's staff said he has cut back on some luxuries in response to the state's tight finances.
Mm-hmm.
He has just one housekeeper and one full-time chef, although a second chef works part-time.
Oh,
so you see, he's tightening his belt, too.
He's suffered and he's suffered. Look at all he's done for you.
Exactly. This is, you know, I was mentioning this earlier to a right-wing tool, Rich Galen, that, you know, the political wisdom is always...
Republican strategist Rich Galen?
Sure, that guy.
Uh-huh.
But the, what do you call it, you know, the political wisdom, like, oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, whatever. Well, hold on a minute. People want Democrats to control Congress after this fall's election to shift from April, according to an Associated Press poll released Saturday. It's 45% to 40%, thin, but still it has flipped since a month ago. The new readout came as the economy continued showing signs of improvement, and the battle for health care, of course, has faded into the background. This is what we've been saying. Like, once people start to see the actual good things in the health care bill working, and, like I always say, good news for America, bad news for Republicans, it's like they're willing the economy not to turn around, even
Damn
though it,
it
clearly is.
Right.
Damn it, the economy's turning around.
Holly Smithson, one of the people saving America today.
And she's with...
And you are...
From Baltimore.
And this would be regarding...
She said, I'm a new Democrat. She recently switched from the GOP. I want to be with a party that's for something instead of against everything.
Hey.
Sister, thanks for paying attention. Oh, they are for one thing. I forgot to mention this story. They are for being obstructionist asshats.
Yeah. Well, they're also for tarballs.
Yes, they're the party of tarballs.
Yeah. They come in funny shapes at all? Not unless round's funny.
Oh, boy. So, okay, yeah. They have you heard about this? The House Democrats are forced to scrap the Competes Act, a jobs bill to increase investments in science research and training programs.
Oh, why would you want that?
Mm-hmm. Despite initial bipartisan support, the bill went down suddenly as House Republicans staged a parliamentary ambush to insert a provision that would fire any federal workers disciplined for violations regarding the viewing, downloading, or exchanging of pornography. This is ridiculous stuff they keep doing at the last minute, you know what I mean, to try to... trick Democrats. Oh, you're for porn then. You know, something that has nothing to do with the bill they're trying to get done. just to be asshats.
Yep.
Shortly before the vote, Representative Lynn Jenkins, Republican of Kansas, unveiled the GOP porn amendment, announcing it would be a referendum on the use of porn, blah, blah, blah. Representative Bart Gordon, Democrat of Tennessee, quickly took to the floor to denounce the minority party's embarrassing gimmicks to undermine an important bill for my 9-year-old daughter, for your kids and your grandkids. Gordon said, everyone raise your hand that's for porn. Come on, raise your hand. Nobody? Nobody's for pornography? Well, I'm so shocked. I guess we need this little itty-bitty provision that means nothing is going to get gut the entire bill. This is an embarrassment. Using a motion to recommit the amendment scared enough Democrats to back the porn amendment, thus forcing Democratic leaders to pull the consideration of the bill, possibly postponing it for a week. House Republicans celebrated their success in obstructing the jobs bill and promised more of the same. We certainly should do more of this type of thing, said Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas. Not the first time, by the way, Republicans in Congress have used sex-related amendments to sow division and kill substantive bills. In the one instance Democrats have stood up and opposed frivolous sex-related amendments, Republican campaign committee have quickly used those votes to claim Democrats support sex offenders.
Democrats like porn.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have used sex as a political weapon to kill legislation designed to create jobs, fund research, reform health care, and save energy. And, as Representative Smith noticed, they are going to do it more. They're going to do that more. That's what you got there on your Republican side.
Your dad wouldn't have done that.
No. 45, are you kidding? He wouldn't even have said the word porn. 45.
However, your parents did run around the house naked.
That's right.
Oh, dear. My mom, as my mom always said when he told even a vaguely dirty joke, oh, Bill.
Oh, Bill. Oh, he had a stack of those early Playboys.
My
Come
stars.
On.
Dear.
Yeah, those are about
the
his
children.
Dirty 45 minutes. Tiger beat.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So the Republicans have become the party of obstructionist asshats and bigots, I guess, mm-hmm. is what's... James Inhofe, did you see this one? He had an interview with the American Family Association radio thing. Is that the George Wreckers former organization?
I think so.
A different family situation.
I think he had his paws on all of those various organizations.
You know, I say it every week, but Frank Rich, best piece ever. But about the, you know. That is the latest, the George Wreckers case. But he makes a good point. As hilarious as it can be. And how many jokes? He said, this is serious. I mean, this guy has had his, as you say, Chris, his paws.
I tried to.
On some of the most mean-spirited, bigoted, hurtful anti-gay bigotry in this country. Mm-hmm. He's been paid taxpayer money to testify in gay adoption cases. And this reparative therapy, God knows how many kids have killed themselves over mm-hmm. So James Inhofe is on this American Family radio thing. Argued against repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, arguing basically members of the U.S. military are too bigoted to be willing to fight and die for the guy in the next foxhole if the guy's gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll just let him die if he's wounded because he's gay. Yeah.
So, not to mention, people have been fighting and dying beside gay people, and gay people dying beside them for...
eons.
Yes.
Wow.
I love this, how Inhofe explained the military. He said, you have women, now men, and then you have a third group to deal with, and they're not equipped to do that. So I guess the homosexuals, he's saying, are a third group that are neither male nor female. They're just some sort of subspecies is mm-hmm. what he's sort of implying there. It's a third group.
They're like a gelatinous mass.
Yeah, it's a third group. Of, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, homosexual flubber or something. He said, I happen to be Army, and Army and Marines always feel that when we're out there, we're not doing it for the flag or the country. We're doing it for the guy in the next foxhole, and that would dramatically change that.
Right. Yeah, because no gays have ever actually served in the military.
Yeah. A December 2006 survey of service members who had served in Iraq and Afghanistan found 73% of those polled were comfortable with lesbians and gays. And more than 500 U.S. soldiers are currently out to their colleagues and continue
the
survey.
Clearly they're not real Army guys then, like James Inhofe.
Yes. Apparently not. Okay. Moving on to our next Republican bigotry story. Representative Steve King, the stunning Steve King.
The stunning Steve King of Iowa.
Took to the Florida rail against the Obama administration's policies on immigration and combating terrorism. He complained Obama is against racial profiling, saying it had better be used in cases involving, for example, a young Middle Eastern male, which right there is, you see, racial profiling. What is ironic about King's endorsement about using the race of young Middle Eastern males to profile terrorism suspects is, you know, neither of the last two, neither of them from the Middle East, actually.
Computer says no.
Shahzad Faisal Shahzad. He was Pakistan, actually, in Southwest Asia.
Right.
And the underwear bomber from Nigeria, which is in Africa. But other than that.
And there are plenty of white Muslims as well, as yes. Malcolm X pointed out in
and that blonde chick.
His book.
The what?
The blonde chick.
Well, you know, Bosnian Muslims.
Well,
blonde
Queen Noor.
Jihad like. Jane. You know, what's her name?
Well, yeah. And also the Queen Noor of Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's a blonde chick.
She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The good news is new poll out over 77% of all Arizonans support comprehensive immigration reform. So, hello. Because some of those polls were troubling, but I think that it is just a reaction. We all agree there's a problem, but I think, you know, you can take heart that most people think that there is a better solution. Polls have shown that 52% of Arizona voters continue supporting the drastic and likely unconstitutional immigration law. However, a poll released recently shows Arizonans overwhelming support action on the federal level in the form of comprehensive immigration reform, if given the choice preferred over both increased border security and this new Arizona law. The results reflect polling at the national level as well. While a slim majority of Americans support Arizona's immigration law, an overwhelming majority across party lines support comprehensive immigration reform.
Just finish the dang fence.
Okay, Grampy. A recent CBS New York Times poll showed 57% of Americans, that's almost 60, Jim, believe immigration laws should be set by the federal government. 64% support some sort of legal status for undocumented immigrants already living in the country. So, you know, it's the same fight we fought on health care, is that, you know, the problem, if you would describe what's in it, people are for it. It's just, you know, they bought the Republican lies. Let's see what happens as time goes by and they're actually seeing, the you know, the good things that are in the bill. We had Phoenix Mayor Phil Gordon on Friday. This is him.
We saw historically the Great Wall of China to the Berlin Wall to any wall. People determined to get across when there's an economic motive. We'll get across, and the smugglers certainly have been doing it.
Yep, that's very, very, very true.
Yeah. All right. And speaking of political punditry, and another example of Mama's always right, how long have I been saying Joe Sestak? We need a new real Democrat. Mm-hmm. He is, in the latest poll, up 7 points ahead of the primary tomorrow. Representative Sestak.
There's no way we're going to trust a career politician who helped get us into this mess after 30 years down there and then said, oh, I'm going to switch a party after advancing the Republican agenda.
By the way, Candy Crowley yesterday didn't let Arlen Specter get away with the whole. He said, why, Candy, I had a clear shot at re-election if I'd stayed in the Republican.
What?
No, he was widely considered vulnerable. He's on tape. That's what's so damning right now in that Sestak ad, is he's on tape saying, be switching parties will allow me to get re-elected.
It's the two-party theory.
Anyway, but so now he's trying to spin it like, oh, no, I had a clear shot if I'd stayed a Republican. That's why. What? I did it on principle.
Well,
Earl Inspector.
And it has been a record where I evaluate what is good for the people of my state and nation and vote accordingly.
Or not. Maybe I'll just change my party or my diapers.
Oh, stop.
Senator Specter.
It does not hurt me. I am in a tough line of work, and I'm used to being challenged.
We have a little bit of breaking news out of Miami this morning from the Miami
Plus
News.
Plus, it was irritating how he kept saying, look here to Candy Crowley. Look here, Candy. Look hey!
Yeah.
Look here!
Now yes, look here, ahead, young lady.
Apparently, the Miami New Times this morning has published an interesting look at some of George Rucker's work with boys. Boys he felt needed the gay violently spanked out of them.
So really? He, yes. A good spanking takes
so he,
care of that.
He would spank young boys to get the gay out of
him. See, he was personally trying to have the gay rubbed out of him.
Yes.
You know, because you can massage it away, too.
Right.
With the long stroke.
All they need is a good
spanking. If the spanking doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
No. Yeah. All right, then. You know, on that note, I think I'm just going to pack up my little tent and go home.
Are
you? All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.